So much news, according to me. Yeah, for those of you out there in podcast land who have a podcaster, Rodecaster Pro is called. It's the Rodecaster podcasting little box. They've probably sold a million of these. Whoever thought of this idea, they had a great idea. And I've noticed a lot of podcasters use this thing. And there's a reason for it. It's because they built it right to begin with. It has a place for four different microphones to go into it. The Rodecaster doesn't sponsor me. Nobody sponsors me because I'm a nobody. When you're a nobody, nobody sponsors you. That's how that works. There's this little machine here. Has one main channel for the host of the show, and it's really designed for like one person operation. I don't need an engineer. I've got all kinds of stuff on here I can do. I can, can push buttons and make stuff happen. There's all kinds of carts I can put on here. There's probably I think it's unlimited. I think it's like 64 different things I can put on here. Little buttons I can push. But it's that part of it's a little bit awkward to manage. But realistically, it's not too bad. They've actually combined this with a software deal where you can actually just use it on your computer. And if you have the right kind of microphone, it's like a little USB microphone. You can plug up to four microphones, I think, into the thing, maybe more. These little USB microphones they have now that you can plug into your computer, and then you can have the same kind of operation basically on your computer. That's what I have in this box. The difference, the main difference between that is that you don't need a computer with this box. You can actually record everything into the box to a micro SD card, and you could have the whole show produced right here with this little box without a computer even, and you just upload your files later, do any editing if you need to do that. So that's kind of neat. I mean, you can put all of your like today I'm going to talk about the Dan Bongino show a little bit and Merrick Garland, and I could put my little sound clip on there if I wanted to. Now, I've got this hooked up to my computer, so I can actually play files from my computer through this thing. And I can also Bluetooth a phone to this thing, or any Bluetooth device for that matter. But I Bluetooth my phone to this thing occasionally, or my iPad, whatever, if I've got files on there that I want to play. Or I could take a call. In fact, I do that quite often when I'm doing voiceover work. I'll take a call from someone who wants to give me direction over the phone while as I'm recording. And it just comes in, and I can keep them from going on the recording, and just by listening in the side set. So it's a pretty amazing virtual little tool. And you can also plug a phone into it if you wanted to. So you could plug a phone in, have also you could also have a Bluetooth thing, and you got your computer line from your USB. You've got all these little sounds in there, and up to four microphones you can plug in with four different monitors for headsets. So yeah, it's quite the box. I've got one at home. And I've got one in my office. And it's when it first came out, it wasn't all that. It had a lot of functions. It was perfectly usable. But now the interface has gotten better. They've got all kinds. I think I've upgraded the firmware in this thing like four times now, and it gets better every time. So now you can record directly to your DAW in different channels if you wanted to. That's kind of neat. DAW is that's a term we use it's a lingo thing we use in the business. Yeah. So Merrick Garland. I've talked about Merrick Garland before, but I haven't talked about what's in my cup. And the problem is, I can't find my cup. I had hot chocolate in my cup, but I also had a backup. That's all gone. I've got a backup somewhere around here that was supposed to be my sweet tea, iced tea. I don't see it. I'm gonna have to find it. You know, it's right in front of me. The microphone's too big. It's just right in my way. Ah, yes. Some sweet tea. So the other day I've mentioned ever since Merrick Garland came on the scene, I didn't pay that much attention to him when they were trying to put him in as a Supreme Court justice. And I'm very grateful that this man was never put in as a Supreme Court justice. However, I think it was under the Obama or under the Obama administration last year. I think it was his administration tried to put Merrick Garland in, and the Senate blocked it. I didn't pay that much attention to him. However, I think that in the years following his rejection from the Supreme Court, he not only didn't improve himself, he became a worse individual. I think that somehow, somewhere, you know, out of all the judges on the planet, for some reason, I think the Obama administration and the Democrats felt like they owed something to him to pay him back for what he went through with the Supreme Court rejection. Now, I don't know how all this stuff works. I know that there are some very nefarious things going on behind the scenes. And that some of the alphabet soup organizations, this thing we call the deep state, the FBI, the CIA, NSA, DIA, NSA, did I say the NSA already? Yeah. OSI. All these different organizations, even the DOD. I have a little more faith in the DOD, but I also know that they've got some corruption in that issue as well. I hate to say this. It pains me to say this. But the integrity of the FBI in the last 5 years, I think that the integrity was, I think they had problems for a long time. There was a movie that came out a while back. It was based on a true story, and it was pretty true to life, I think, for the most part. It was about a particular, I think it was actually a CIA agent. Some guy who worked for the CIA. Might have been the FBI. I can't remember. I'll look it up and see if I can find it. Saw the movie a couple times. It's a very good movie. I can't remember the guy's name who plays it. He's an extremely good actor. Not a well-known actor, at least by name. But if you saw him, you would recognize him. He's appeared in a lot of movies, a lot of good movies. And this movie he was kind of the lead character in this movie. In fact, he was in The Bourne Identity. He was Jason Bourne's original boss in The Bourne Identity. But he played this part in this movie. I can't remember what the name of it is. Who was a double agent, basically, for, I believe, the Russians. Is it Free? I think his last name was Free, maybe. I don't know. Jonathan Free. I don't know. Something like that. And he played this part very well, as far as we know. What is going on with this? Oh, there we go. So it's been over the course of several years now, in the last 5 years or so, that we've discovered, I think, the facade, the veneer has been pulled back on the FBI, especially the FBI, to see what's really going on. And I could go through a whole list and litany of things that are happening with regard to the kinds of investigations they're doing, the way they're doing the investigations, the kind of people that they have done raids on, the activity revolves around January 6th of last year. This year, I guess. It was this year, January 6th. Seems like it's been a long forever ago. The kinds of raids that they've been doing on certain journalists' homes, the information that they hold on to with certain politicians and don't do anything about it. And then there's the involvement that they have played in certain high-profile cases in the country. Even the Rittenhouse case. Things that are happening in voting circles. The DOJ and the FBI have, in my opinion, shown themselves to be partisan and extensions of a particular political party. Now, this is a pretty serious accusation to make. I have been saying for a long time, since Merrick Garland came on the scene and I heard him speaking, I've been saying, you know, please understand, I don't like to say that someone is evil. Evil in and of itself is not a person, but evil can manifest itself in a particular individual and the things that they do. It's kind of like you're not stupid, but stupid is as stupid does. You can do stupid things. You may not be stupid, but you're doing stupid things. So that just, you know, stupid is. There you go. Because you stupid does or did. I've done plenty of stupid. So, you know, I've had some stupid moments in my life. And I think that the calling someone evil, I think, goes beyond, it's almost a pronunciation of a judgment, and I can't go there. Because there is redemption I have to believe that there is redemption for Merrick Garland. There's redemption. There would have even, if Hitler would have had the opportunity, he would have been able to receive redemption from his evil ways. He could have repented. There was still time for him to do that. He could have at any point done that. That option was open to him at any time. And I don't want to say that someone is evil, because that seems to be pronouncing a person to be the embodiment or the manifestation of evil, and that's not what Merrick Garland is. So I want to be very careful when I say that. Merrick Garland has a lot of evil motivation. I think he has a lot of, and I think unknownst to him, is that a word, knownst? Unknowingly. There, we'll just go with that. I was talking to my nephew earlier today, and we talked about, a lot of times when we're texting back and forth, we make up words. And just put words together. Or he'll use I'll use a big word and I don't know what it means. So I'll say, I'm using this big word, but I don't know what it means. Or he'll do the same thing. This is the way it started this morning. He said something about disseminated. He said, he said in his next text, he said, I don't even know what that means. And he was joking. He knows what it means. But he just said that. And then, of course, then I said something else about something, and he said we should make a book with just words that we make up. We started making up words at that point. And we do that quite often. And I was like, yeah, that's a brilliant idea. Just made up, you know, like words that we could make up about stuff. Now, I think there have been like little bitty, you know, skits people have done with made up words. But this would be like a whole dictionary. Sounds like a lot of work to me, but it's one of those things where, you know, we haven't struck it rich yet on any of our ideas. We've had plenty of ideas. Him and his brother passed away a while back, but we used to come up with all kinds of crazy ideas and trying to make money, trying to have with that big idea that was going to, you know, strike it rich. We take the shotgun approach to this. We're not a sniper approach to striking it rich. We just kind of scatter it all out there. Well, here's an idea. One of his ideas, he actually published this. It's actually on Amazon. In fact, let's just make this today's sponsor. Today's sponsor is the Poop Log on Amazon. If you go to Amazon.com and you type in Poop Log, you'll find that there is a I'm just going to see if it's still there. It's got to still be there. We'll see if it's still on there. Amazon. Yeah, Amazon's still there. Surprised they made it. Yeah, they made it. Looks like they made it. They're still in business. I was worried about them during COVID, you know, how they were going to come out with all that. Let's see if this works. Yep, there it is. That's not his book, though. It looks like he's not the only one who made one of these books, actually. I thought he was... this is a pretty good one. Made Bathroom Guest Book. Funny Housewarming Gift. Hostess Gift. Or White Elephant Gift. What's Your Poop Telling You? Deja Poop. Poop Log. My Thoughts While I Poop. I Pooped Bathroom Guest Book. Poop Log Book. Yeah, there's all kinds of these. So many that I can't find his, actually. It's got to be here somewhere. I just have the top selling ones. I don't think he sold that many. Anyway, he did one of those. He did one of those books and he put it out there. Let's see if I can type in something else and find it. Yep, there it is. My Poop Log is what it's called. So today's show is brought to you by My Poop Log. It's free shipping if you order over, you know, four of them. So that's what kind of stuff we've done in the past. I've started all kinds of, just tried all kinds of different things. And of course, you know, just usually headlong into a wall. We've had some other ideas. One idea we came about was actually working out pretty well. I think it would be a booming business today until the states got involved with vaping. Started shutting things down. I think that pretty much put the kibosh on that. Right about the time we were about to, ready to roll some things out. But I digress. Okay, we had Merrick Garland. We're talking about Merrick Garland right now. And how evil of the motivation that this guy has. Now, in my opinion, this guy's got a vindictive heart. He is going after things that are... He is a complete... I would say a complete epitome of a leftist in the Department of the DOJ, in the AG position, in the Attorney General position. And this is a dangerous place for an attorney general to be. Eric Holder was—he did plenty of things that were bad. In fact, he was found guilty of contempt of Congress as well, but nobody ever convicted him of it. They never went after him like they did Steve Bannon, and I think they're going after Mark Meadows. Nobody's ever been charged with that, and yet he was under the same order as those two were. Several people in the Obama White House, in fact, administration, were under that order, never showed up, and they never got subpoenaed and brought in, cuffed and brought in by the FBI. Tells you something about the imbalance that we have. Trump talked about going after Clinton. And of course, the left threw a tizzy fit and said, this is not a banana republic. We don't go after our political opponents. Trump, you know, she lost, so you can't go after her because she lost. You can only go after the winner, apparently, until Joe Biden won, and now you can't go after him because he won. Oh, he got 81 million votes. Can't go after him. It's an attack on our democracy. Attacking Trump was not an attack on our democracy. Attacking Biden is an attack on our democracy. See how that works? Like I've said before, there is no point in pointing out their hypocrisy or their double standards because that is who they are. That the end justifies the means. That's their core belief. I don't even think they realize that, but that's the way they operate. That is their MO. That's constantly the way they're... That's just the way they're wired. And the AG has that embedded in his skull to the point where he can't see beyond it. He's now going after the Texas voting law. They're filing the U.S. federal court is filing a lawsuit. Now, Bongino points out how hypocritical, whatever it is, that this is because of what they, you know, he was very familiar with it in Maryland. He ran for, I think it was Congress or Senate in Maryland. And the way that they have gerrymandered that place, the way they've divided up the districts is completely, it's almost impossible for a Republican to win. I think they only have one Republican out of the, it's a 7-1 basically, 7 Democrats and 1 Republican in that state. He discovered real quickly how that works. But Merrick Garland's not concerned about going after them, their voting issues, but he's going after Texas. So here's what Dan Bongino has to say, which I think is very interesting. I love it when I say stuff and then a couple weeks later, I hear the big shots out there saying the same things that you know, they've come to the same conclusions. When it's the other way around, when I hear them say it, I figure, well, it's already out there. Not really going to talk about it. So I think I'm going to do that more. I'm going to do more of that with this show. I'm going to talk a little bit more about things that are in the news, or maybe not on the main ticket items in the news, and then kind of seek out those people who are saying, finally come to the same conclusions. Because it happens quite often, actually. It's not that I'm smarter than them. It's just that I like, you know, people who have the same principles or coming to the same conclusions kind of helps to affirm the fact that I at least I'm staying true to my principles to some degree. So this is what Dan Bongino has to say. He's starting off his show. He's got a YouTube channel. I think he has like a 1-hour show on YouTube. And I think he's also got a noon show. Or he did. I'm not sure if he does anymore because he won't back down on this vaccine thing. And he's ran into some problems with some sponsors and stuff because of his stance on some things. We'll get into that later. We're going to talk about COVID here in a little bit. Of course we are. All roads lead to COVID. So we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But this is a clip from him on his show here. Let's see what he has to say.
Okay. I'm getting back to the story I initially opened the show with. Folks, Merrick Garland, I am not kidding, is an existential threat to liberty and freedom. The man is, the problem he has, in contrast to Eric Holder, who was the worst attorney general in U.S. history prior to Merrick Garland, and Merrick Garland's only been in office for less than a year, is Holder at one point, Holder seemed at least mildly politically concerned with what would happen, at least within the Democrat Party. Garland is a weak, pathetic loser. This guy is a loser. I had Jim Jordan on my show, radio show last week as a guest, and he told me they are now looking into Merrick Garland and the Department of Justice and that school board letter scandal, the National School Boards Association. Remember the letter they sent to the Department of Justice demanding parents be investigated like domestic terrorists for showing up at school boards and complaining about CRT? Jordan's team has evidence that the school board letter may have been the new dossier. In other words, Garland's Department of Justice had already committed to investigating parents as domestic terrorists and weaponizing their law enforcement abilities. And they just needed the school board to provide the letter to give this thing a facade and a patina of credibility. That is an incredibly serious story. I will say
that is the MO. That's the MO of these operations. They come up with either, they collect data. They collect things that people do wrong, sit on them until they need them. Or if they can't find anything, they pay somebody else to make something, create something like the dossier, or what it sounds like is behind this letter. There was probably somebody on the inside of this school board, not the school board themselves, but the education department or whatever it was. See, the school board from this local school complaint, you know, they took it up a notch and they took the complaints to, I think, the oversight of the federal education department or whatever it was. Somebody on that board is the one that coaxed them into coming up with a letter. And that's when they came up with this letter and then recommended it or gave it to Merrick Garland. Of course, they didn't realize, I don't think that the board themselves knew what was going to be happening with this thing, how it was going to be, what it was going to be turned into. But that gave them the authority, if you will, the just like the FISA court, they were able to get the permission to spy, and yes, spy is the right word to use. We use the word surveillance. That's spying. If I do surveillance on my neighbor over here, surveillance has a passive mentality. It's a passive word. And by that I mean, if I have surveillance cameras at my home, I'm surveilling, I'm watching what's happening on my property. If I'm spying, it crosses my property line. If I turn my surveillance camera and point it over in my neighbor's yard, now I'm spying. Yeah, I have them under surveillance cameras, but I'm spying on what they have. If they have no knowledge that I'm doing that, that's spying. Is by its very basic definition, is watching someone without their knowledge. Intentionally watching someone without their knowledge. Now, you can, you know, take that for what you will. And they knew what they were doing when they were going after Trump. They were spying on Trump. They were saying, oh, we're going after Christopher Steele. Or not Christopher Steele. What's the guy's name? The other guy that there was an asset, the CIA asset. They used that guy, and they just because they can go like two or three people deep from that person. Well, that gets you a whole lot of people in your dragnet, because anybody that talks to this guy who is in the campaign is now anybody that he talks to. They can talk to the next person who talks to them, and you can eventually get to the president that way. You're three deep on the surveillance. It's just they've got the game down. They know what they're doing. And it's filthy and pathetic, in my opinion. They're not solving crime. They're trying to come up with a crime. They're trying to entrap someone. Well, if you're not doing anything wrong, there's nothing to worry about. Well, no, the problem is they manufacture evidence. How would you like somebody watching you like that? And then editing things that you say. Or putting you in places that you haven't been. They find a hair from your head and they place it at a crime scene. How would you like that? That happened to you. And these kinds of things are happening, folks. Or how would you like it if they found some incriminating evidence on you from a family member, something a family member did, and later on they use it in the job situation that you're in? So you say you're moving up the ladder in a job and you get a promotion and you get up there, and then somebody from HR comes to you and says, hey, we got this information on you and something you did on the project. Now we want you to do this, or we're going to tell everybody about this project. Oh, that's how they entrap you, you see. Or they might say, well, it looks like you did something nefarious here, even if you didn't. They can come up with, we got these numbers on this last project that you worked on. Looks like maybe you skimmed some money off this project. That new washing machine you have in your house there. Looks like that was put there by somebody who was a vendor. Because you got that new washing machine right after this project went through, after you hired that vendor. Stuff like that. Just to come up with whatever. I just know that those kinds of things happen a lot of the time in the corporate world. So that's why I'm coming up with that story. Happened to my dad. My dad was in charge of a maintenance facility for an entire factory. Oops, bumped my microphone. It's my tea. And he was ordering light bulbs. He was a light bulb supplier. They used a lot of light bulbs back then because they had a pretty big plant. So they would order, thousands of light bulbs a year. Well, the place where he finally decided to place an order for light bulbs, the salesman said, "Where would you like your new washer and dryer just delivered?" What do you mean? What are you talking about? We didn't order a washer and dryer. It's, well, no, to your personal home, we're going to give you a washer and dryer because you're giving us so much business. You see, and he realized what was happening. He said, "Oh, you're gonna pay me off personally for making a decision on the company's behalf." I said, "Well, yeah, you can call it that." That's what the guy said. He said, "Well, we're not going to be ordering any more light bulbs from you," and he hung up the phone. Now, most people would just write it off as a perk. And I'm not saying my dad was above anybody else because he did that. I think that was a fine example of integrity, and I would like to hope that I would do the same. There have been times, especially in the little side job I have now, where I've done things and for the company or for the good of the people around me, but I know nobody saw what I did. Nobody knew what I did, and I didn't tell anybody what I did because I didn't do it for the accolades or for anybody watching. I did it because it was the right thing to do. And that's, at the end of the day, I'd like to think that that's a sign, a testimony, if you will, to the integrity that God has put in my heart. The change that was made because of the work he has done in me. I just offer that up as a testimony to itself. And here I am talking about it now. But that's, I'm not going to tell you that what I've done, but I will tell you that I believe that's part of, if you can do something, it's what you do when nobody's watching, or when you think nobody's watching, that I think says more about the integrity of who you are. So, Merrick Garland, as I have said, and I don't think, Bongino said he's a weak, pathetic individual. I'm not sure he's necessarily weak. I think he's a pushover for sure, but I think he is has so embraced the leftist agenda that he epitomizes it. He is the leftist agenda. He thinks that anything else besides the leftist agenda is an attack on the American way of life, supposedly, this new change that we're trying to bring to America. Which brings me now to this. Let's talk about this for a second as I squeak my chair. This nation has been known to be the, whether for good or bad, we've been the keeper, if you will, of the peace. And some would argue with that. Let me clarify some of those statements. But let me first just make this statement. This nation has been known as the keeper of peace in the world for many, many years. I know that this, making that statement causes the leftists' heads to pop off. And the people who hate this country, their heads just explode. All of a sudden, they come up with all kinds of things. What about them? Okay. So let's back up a little bit here. Yes, we've been involved in many wars. Yes, we conquered, the Europeans conquered the country. Many people overran this country. Many people from many countries were fighting over who was going to get to take over this country. And in the end, the country was taken over by people who gave the country back to the people. That is the uniqueness about this nation that we have built here. That has been built before us, I should say. Can't say I would have done this. George Washington had the opportunity to become the king of America. People were clamoring around him, begging him to become king. They wanted him to be their king. At that time, most people did not know anything beyond a chief or a king. There was no such thing as a democratic society on a large scale in this world at that time. I can't remember who the philosopher was who thought up the whole idea of democracy. It's a Greek thing. It was never put into place, really. And the founders actually recognized that a democracy was still not a healthy way. It is a form of government, but not a healthy, a pure democracy is not a healthy form of government. And in fact, it is the rights of the individual that should reign and rule supreme, so that groups, mobs of people, the 51% cannot take over the 49%. But it is this philosophy of democracy that reigns and rules in the hearts of leftists. There are some fundamental difficulties with maintaining a true republic built on individual rights, a constitutional foundational republic. I won't get into those today, but there are some fundamental issues with all of the groupthink. And this is where the Democrats, it's not that they sit around and plot and plan this stuff. These philosophies have roots in what I believe is evil theology. It is false doctrine that is built. It's the precepts that are built off of this false doctrine that create this idea of socialism and communism. It is this mixture of government becoming a theocracy, if you will, because of they don't have to believe in a God, in the God of creation, in order to be a theocracy. Because if government is your God, then that's a theocracy in and of itself. And they claim that, well, we're not going to say that God is we're going to take God out of our government. No, when you do that, government becomes your God. Yeah, that's because that's what you think. You think government is the answer to the problems. We can continue to have government become the rescuer, the safety net for everyone. Mondino, in this particular show, I was listening to the whole thing, and he went into a really good tirade, a rant about how poor people are never lifted up through socialism. The promise is all there. Well, you're going to have free education. You're going to have free housing, free health care. When they came out before the election, I think it was 2016, they came out. There's some people running around saying everybody should have a free iPhone, a free iPad. Everybody should get a car. This is insanity. It is absolute insanity. To think that things are just going to be given to you, that someone owes you something, that the government can just magically print out money. Money comes from somewhere. They tax you. They tax somebody.
Well, they're going to tax the rich.
Really? That's how that works. Do you work for somebody who's poor? Have you had a job for some?
Well, not to have a job. They just get. They can just. They make so much money. They're taking all of our money. We just need our money.
There was a prominent, well-known African-American individual recently. He was in an interview, being asked some questions about reformations. Reformations. Paying back the folks that were, had ancestors who were slaves. I don't know how that's going to work in Kamala Harris's family line because she had family who were slave owners, but I'm not sure that's going to work. But his contention was that they should get at least $1 million per person. That's the thinking there. Makes perfect sense, doesn't it? And then they were asked, okay, so $1 million, then that's over? Well, $1 million a year. Oh, $1 million a year per person. Okay. Of course. Well, yeah, that was silly to think it would just be $1 million. And this guy was serious. How do you, what kind of reality do you live in? Or do you think that that can just happen and it's going to be okay? It's absolute insanity. So, I had a lot of thoughts this morning. Of course, part of that reason is I've had so many thoughts is because I haven't had a show for a couple of days. So I'm all pent up with all this stuff. So this morning's show is just kind of this smattering. I just wanted to go into this whole Merrick Garland thing. There were several other. Even though I'm not able to make a recording while I'm on the road sometimes. I've been all over the place. Where have I been in the last couple of days? I was in Charlottesville Monday night. Sunday night, I think I was in, where was I? I don't remember. I know I was in Burlington, Vermont. I was in someplace else. Asheville. I think I was in Asheville one night. Was I in Richmond? No. Roanoke. I was in Roanoke one night. Been all over the East Coast here, at least recently, at least pretty much all over the East Coast. And probably going to be down in Atlanta this coming weekend, possibly. See how that goes. So there you go. So this afternoon, I plan on having a show. I have to go to the eye doctor this morning, so I'm going to be getting that done. I'm going to get the dogs out, get them running around, barking, and doing their thing outside. And then go to the eye doctor, got to get some other things done. To work on a car that apparently is having some serious issues. I'm not sure. It may not be serious, but it could be very serious. I'm not sure exactly what's going on with it. And then be on my way. So I'll have a show this afternoon, hopefully. I've got some other things I got to do, too. Get some other work to do. But should have time for a show. Doubt if it's going to be live. But I do appreciate all of you who download my podcast. That's the biggest thing you can do for me. You know, nobody sponsors me, but if you download this podcast, it really helps to promote the podcast on the platforms that it's on. It's on two different platforms. The more downloads it gets, the more it pushes it out there. And even if you just delete it after you download it, that's great. That does more for me than anything else. If you can like it, you can share it, you can subscribe, all those kinds of things also really help. But yeah, just even if you don't listen to the whole thing, if you like listen to the first part and just, I don't want to hear this guy today, just download it and then delete it. That's great. Thanks. Appreciate it. Because, you know, you just find out what's in my cup and you don't care about anything else. Maybe I should put that cup thing at the end so that everybody waits to see what's in my cup. Because I know that that's why everybody tunes in, because I keep bumping this cup in my microphone because I'm apparently out of practice. I need to practice more with this cup and microphone. I just want to appreciate everybody that has dialed in this morning, that has tuned in to the show and listened. Should be a show today, tomorrow, possibly two Friday.
I do have some other things going on Friday evening, so it'll be a little bit tricky to get two shows in that day. But Saturday morning, there will probably be a show. So there you go. I know some of you are real happy about that. As far as I know, there will be a show every day next week, if all goes well. Kind of depends on travel plans as well and what happens down in Atlanta, because I may be really, really, really booked up in with regard to time. But there will be at least an afternoon show, if nothing else, because I know that I've got some afternoon time, so that'll probably work. But God bless everybody. Thanks for listening. Take care. Keep praying for our nation and our nation's leaders.